So Dr. Tony Evans, anybody know Dr. Tony Evans? Yeah, he's a pretty famous African-American preacher. When I was in Jamaica with my brother, we were doing a conference, and they were trying to relate with us, and they were naming off some American pastors they knew. And they said, Tony Evans, do you know Tony Evans? And my brother said, oh, we love Tony Evans. Do you like his preaching? He said, yeah, we love that. He said, yeah, we don't preach that way. We agree with Tony, but I can't do Tony, all right? That's just a reality. But here, Tony Evans says this about the Bible. He says, the Bible has one theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation, and the theme of the Bible is the glory of God through the advancement of his kingdom. And it says the Bible is about the glory of God through the advancement of his kingdom. And without this understanding, what we often have is a bunch of disconnected stories if we don't understand this. And there are stories that we can take out of context, and we can use those and apply them to see how, any way we see fit. It's done all the time, trust me. And of course, we downplay the stories that do not line up with our philosophical, theological beliefs. And we need to be reminded, the story's not about us. It's really not about me. But here's the very cool thing about God. Even though the story's not about us, he invites us into the story. He invites us to participate in that story. And we want to look at, so how do we join God in what he's doing? Rather than lots of times we invite God into what we're doing. We probably should turn that around. Last couple weeks, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And if you haven't been around, or if you've been around, just think of the kingdom as God's rule, God's dominion. It's a place where his will is established. And this happened in the garden, right? God's dominion, God's rule, his reign, it existed in the garden. People rebelled. They decided they wanted to be God of their own lives. Everything falls apart. It kind of sounds like our lives sometimes, right? God says, here's a way to go. And we go, hey, yeah, I'm going to try this over here. And then things fall apart. But even in the garden, God promised that one day there would be somebody from the seed of Eve that will rise up and will crush the dominion, the rule of darkness. And as this story goes on, we recognize that this one is going to be a descendant of Abraham. 2 weeks ago, that we talked about how he was going to be in the lineage of King David. And then this same king, Jesus, he came on the scene and he announced the good news of the gospel. He said this. He said, the good news of the kingdom of God is at hand. So he makes this announcement, and then in his life, his death, his burial, and resurrection, Jesus does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Okay? We could not reestablish this relationship. We could not restore what was broken. Now, next week, we're going to look at the last book of the Bible, where we're told this, that one day there will be a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to hearing that voice. So we're somewhere in between there. We're somewhere in between the kingdom of God is at hand and this place in Revelation. And so this morning, I want to look at what did the rest of the New Testament writers, what was their understanding of the kingdom of God and its implications for the church? Because that's where we're living today. So how do we do this? How do we live this out? And obviously, we could spend like the next year talking about this. I'm going to look at the book of Colossians today. This book is written by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is in a familiar place as he's writing this. He's in prison. He's in prison for proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. which is a dangerous proclamation if you live in a place where the majority of the people say, Caesar is Lord. And you come out and you say, no, Caesar may be king, but Jesus is Lord. He is the one that I will bow down to. He is the one that I worship. And so Paul is writing this church in Colossae, and he wants to encourage the readers or the hearers in their love of God and the hope that they have in the gospel. Now, a little bit about this church. They're in the middle of considerable societal pressure. They've got pressure from those that are Greeks and those that are Jews. One side, they're dealing with polytheism. They're dealing with incredibly loose sexual ethics. And then on the other side, they have an extremely rigid, non-life-giving legalism about how do we live out the Torah? And think of the Torah as the law or the Old Testament. How do we live out this life? And I got a picture here that kind of shows what's going on. How do you live in the presence as the kind of human beings that we will be? Revelation. We've got this old humanity. We've got this new humanity. In the midst of all this cultural chaos and cultural pressure pressing down on the church. In other words, they're not a whole lot different than us. Right? You got a society that's telling us what to do, how to live, how to be the church. And so Paul's job is telling the readers, how do we move forward in the midst of social chaos? How do we move forward with kingdom business? How do we live out the kingdom of God as sons and daughters of the King? So Paul's going to start. Let's turn to Colossians. It'll be up here on the screen. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 13. And beginning at verse 13, it says, He, and that's referring to God the Father, and it says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So you were in one place, and it says He transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Verse 14, it says, In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. That is an impressive resume there, by the way, as we're just looking about who is Christ Jesus. And I just want to kind of point out three things here of what do we need to know about the kingdom. And the first thing is we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Man, we have to get this one right. We have to get this one right. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And Paul, just remember who Paul is writing here to. This is a multi-ethnic, a multicultural, multinational group. And he's telling this group from various backgrounds, he's saying, God Himself, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into His kingdom, the kingdom of His beloved Son. You want to know first priority? It's right there. It's this kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. He's redeemed us from the hands of the enemy, and He has forgiven our sins. You had red in your ledger? Jesus is taking care of that. Before you came to Christ, you're a prisoner of darkness. You're in this kingdom that Satan had claim over. And the reality is we need to be reminded of where we came from and where God has brought us. There's been this transfer here that has taken place. I have a side-by-side picture there. Let me see if it shows up. Yeah, okay. That is me with my coach many moons ago when I was at Cal Poly Pomona. A gentleman's name is Jim Sackett. These pictures are taken roughly 30 years apart. And I stopped in to see him this last March before the world went crazy. It was already crazy before, but we just figured it out. But anyways, I came in there to just tell him, hey, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you because you took a chance on me. I thought it was a good chance at the time. You took a chance on me, and you made a difference in my life. And I just want to thank you. But one of my, I guess it's a fond memory, a memory of him. We were at a track meet, and something went wrong. I thought we were cheated, and we were. And I went over to him, and I said, Coach, this is what I'm going to do. And I lined out to him what I was going to do. And he took his glasses off. And he says, no, you're not. And I said, can I ask why? And he said, yes. He says, because I'm the coach of this team, and you're wearing that uniform, and that's not the way we do things around here. And I was smart enough to not say anything else after that. But you know, I need to be reminded of something. I still think I was right, by the way. But I need to be reminded of something. I need to be reminded of what team I was on. I need to be reminded that I don't just represent myself. I represent somebody else. I need to know who's in charge and who do I represent. And church, we need to know what team we are on. And better yet, let's just put it back in the biblical terms. We need to know what kingdom we represent. And this kingdom is not like any other kingdom the world has ever known. This kingdom doesn't operate under the same rules as other kingdoms. I think there's times where I need to be reminded, I follow Christ. I need to go back to his word and hear him say, no, you're not. And you don't do that because you're my child. And we do things differently here. The kingdom of God, it supersedes all previous alliances and allegiances. I am a Christian. I am a child of God before I am anything else. That is my primary calling. And Paul could say to these people, you may have called Caesar Lord in the past, but now you call Christ Lord. He is the one. He's the coach. He's in charge. Later in this letter, Paul will tell this divided church. And churches get divided over the goofiest things. I'm looking forward to one day when it's a theological thing. But we get divided over so many things. And he tells the church this. It's Colossians 3, 9 through 11. He says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. In other words, you've taken off that old uniform. And actually, that old uniform, just like the new uniform, it runs deep. It runs deep in you. And he says, you have put off that old self with its practices. You know, that old self divided itself all kinds of goofy ways. Verse 10, it says, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Listen to how it's being renewed. It's being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. In other words, it's not just that I put on a uniform, but I'm actually being renewed in what? The image of the Creator. The image of Jesus Christ. So as a Christian, I am more and more to look like Jesus Christ because he is renewing me. And he says this, I love this, reminds me of what the coach says. Verse 11, he says, here, in other words, okay, this is how these kingdoms operate out here, this is how this goes on, other teams may do this, but here, in the church, the people that are the kingdom of God, there's not Greek, there's not Jew, there's not circumcised, there's not barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all in all. In other words, as a church, we come together, it's not like my background disappears, but it's not about my background. It's about Christ. It's not about the name on the back of the uniform. It's about the name on the front. And that says Jesus Christ. And because we wear that name, that's why we care for the lost and the broken and the hurting. That's why we don't call Caesar Lord. And it's the same reason why we don't call him Lord, but we don't hate him either. That really messes with you, doesn't it? We don't hate him either. Because Jesus says that his followers love their enemies. In fact, Jesus died for his enemies. This kingdom stuff is radically different than the kingdoms of the world. There's a song called We Wear His Name. In the closing words of the song, it says, when we see those in desperate need, how can we pass them by? Let's not forget that we represent the name of Jesus Christ. We wear his name. Okay, so we're citizens of the kingdom of God. Secondly, you were created for the kingdom. Verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, it says this, for by him, speaking of Jesus, all things, if you like writing in your Bible, it's not a sin, by the way, you can circle all things. For by him, through Jesus, all things were created. Where? In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. I think Paul's going to say, is like writing, like, I'm going to make sure I cover this. Like anything you see, anything you don't see, Jesus is the creator. He's all in all. And then, okay, the next thing, if you really like circling, you can circle this one too. All things were created through him and for him. That is critical to understand, that all things were created through him and for him. Do you want to have meaning and purpose in your life? Raise your hand if you want to have meaning and purpose in your life. That is my first unanimous one ever. Except for that one guy that was sleeping over there. But listen, you want meaning and purpose in your life. You were created to have a relationship with the giver of life. Meaning and purpose is going to flow from that relationship. And not only were you to have that relationship that all things were created through him and for him, you were actually made to be renewed in the image of that creator. He has meaning and purpose in your life. You got to start with that. If you don't, a lot of times we start with these second things. C.S. Lewis talked about, if you seek second things first, you forfeit both. Seek first things first, like the kingdom of God and the king, you get second things thrown in for free. That part's free, it's not in my notes. But I've had, and maybe you've had conversations like this, where people make this erroneous statement. They say, well, I don't think the kingdom of God is for me. I don't think heaven is for me. Or I literally have some friends that, they think that going to hell one day is going to be cool. I mean, I think they think AC/DC is going to be up there playing and all their buddies are going to be around. But you know what? Hell, hear me out before you cast me out as a heretic here. Hell wasn't made for people. There are some theologians that think God made some people for heaven, some people for hell. Okay, hear me out before you throw stones. In Matthew 25, Jesus has this he has this message, and he spells out kingdom principles. He's saying, hey, look, this is what my kingdom looks like. And this is what the church looks like. And in this message, there are going to be people that hear this message, and they decide, I don't want a relationship with the creator of the universe. I don't want a relationship. I don't want to live out these kingdom principles. And Jesus says to those people, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire. Listen, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is a place that people can choose to go to, but it wasn't created for you. The Bible clearly says here that it was created for the devil and his angels. So we have a choice. We have a choice to live in the relationship you were created for. We can live that out. Or we can take a choice and go to an unnatural place. A place that isn't a place that you're going to flourish, that you're not going to experience the use of your gifts and live out the way that you were created to be. And so, you know, we need to stop living for lesser things. We need to go back to, hey, I was designed. I was made intentionally to have a relationship with the creator of the universe, to live in his kingdom, to live out his kingdom principles. You know, I think Paul's telling us this here when he says all things were created through him and for him. There's a relationship you were meant to have. And if you don't have that relationship, you can have that relationship today. Today, anybody hearing my voice, you can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the relationship all of us were meant to have and to live out. Third thing about the kingdom. And we need to be reminded of this constantly. Christ is the head, we are the body. Head makes the decisions, body lives them out. The Bible tells us the one that holds the universe together is the head of the church. Verse 17, Colossians 1 says, and he is before all things. In him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. If you want to know how to live out the kingdom, go back to the Gospels. Go back and how did Jesus say to live? How did he live? His priorities need to become our priorities. This isn't just a, hey, I'm going to do this show over here and then you guys go live over here. This is kind of like Simon Says. You know, we're kind of like, Jesus goes like this, we go like that. All right? So we wear his name. We live out his priorities. And as a body, we actually go out under his authority. He clothes us with a uniform. In fact, after he is resurrected, this is what he told his disciples. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, because of that, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say make converts. He says make disciples. Disciples is somebody that's following, that's learning. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, he says, and teach them to observe all that I command you. All these kingdom principles. He says, teach them to observe that. And behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. In other words, what's he saying to the church? He says, go. You're my hands. You're my feet. And hands, quit fighting with the feet. You know, you're one body. Let's do this thing. It's about the king. It's about his kingdom. Go out there as my body. Go make kingdom people. Teach them all that I've taught you. Teach them about the king. Teach them that the king is alive. He has defeated sin. He has defeated death. And teach them to live out kingdom living. We need to hear what Paul is saying to the church here. Colossians 1, 22 and 23. It says, now he has reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you, the church, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Sometimes I look at that and I'm like, who are you talking about? He's talking about us. That as we mature in Christ, he wants to present us before his Father as holy and blameless and above reproach. And there's an if here. It says, if you continue in the faith. In other words, we stay connected to Jesus. Stable and steadfast. It says, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. In other words, stay focused in what Jesus has said. Where's our hope? Our hope is in Jesus. It's in the good news that he proclaimed. There's our hope. Don't shift from that, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, for which I, Paul, became a minister. And Paul must believe it because he's in prison for preaching this message. Man, don't live for lesser kingdoms. Put Jesus' kingdom first. Stay focused. Let's go back to Colossians 1:18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the resurrected one. That in everything he might become preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on heaven or on earth, to make peace by the blood of his Christ. If you study a lot of Paul's writings, you'll notice that Paul seems to have a fascination with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, you're like, did this guy read the rest of the Gospels? Because Jesus did more than live, die, and to be resurrected. So why does Paul constantly talk about death, burial, and resurrection? Why does he constantly talk about the cross? Let me give you my best guess. Paul's an Old Testament theologian. The guy's actually brilliant. He knows passages, they're not going to be up here. Isaiah 26:19, Psalm 17:15, Daniel 12:2. All of these passages talk about somebody rising from the dead at the end of the age, and then the kingdom of God comes at that time. Now, think this through. Have you ever stayed at a hotel and you have to get up in the middle of the night? Because you've gotten older. No, you have to get up in the middle of the night and all you see is kind of shadows around you. You're thinking, yeah, I'm going to bang my knee or stub my toe. And so what do? You get up and you turn on the light. And then when you turn on the light, you begin to see everything clearly. So for Paul, understanding that the Old Testament talked about resurrection, and then the kingdom of God coming. When Paul met the resurrected Jesus, the light turned on. He started to look at everything he read in the Old Testament were kind of shadows, right? Didn't necessarily see them clearly, but when he saw the resurrected Jesus, he thought, aha, that's what this means. And so then you read Paul's writing. What is Paul going to talk about? He's going to talk about the death, the burial, and resurrection. What is he saying? He's saying, wake up, people. Wake up. The kingdom of God is at hand. We've got business to do. We've got to go out and live this. It's about the king. It's about the kingdom. Can you imagine what a force we would be if we would stop staring at shadows? We'd stop staring at the shadows around us and let the light of Christ, the light that he has already revealed, John talks about this, that he has revealed, and we allow that to come into us and shine through us. What kind of force would we be in the community? What if we really believed what Jesus said about us, what he says about the kingdom, and we would go out and we would proclaim that and live that? I guarantee you this, it'll change the world. It will change the world. It would change how what we fight over. We look and go, yeah, I'm just not going to fight over that thing. I'm going to stay focused on the kingdom of God. It would change how I see the hurting around me. I'm saying, well, if Jesus cared about the hurting, I should probably care about the hurting. And I should probably proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. In fact, they will see us loving and they'll say, why are you loving us? You know, sometimes we say that around here. Love people until they ask you why. And they keep loving them, by the way. But we need to love people until they ask us why. So they can hear about the kingdom of God. If we take Jesus seriously, it will reorder our lives. The early church believed this. And they proclaimed this. They proclaimed it even under the threat of death. 2 centuries later, in the midst of Roman persecution, there's a Roman emperor, and listen to what he wrote about Christians. He says, these impious Galatians, these impious Galileans, he says, not only feed their own poor, but ours also. Welcome them into their agape. They attract them as children and are attracted as children are attracted with cakes. I don't know if you catch what he's saying there, but this Caesar, this ruler of Rome, is saying, we're losing a battle to these people. Because not only do they love their own people, they love our people. They love those that are not like them. The church and culture, they loved the Roman Empire. They were actually good citizens of their, except for one area. They will not bow down to Caesar. They put the kingdom of God first. They lived out kingdom ethics. The writer of Hebrews says this, and I'll close on this, and I'll have Zeph come up and lead us in communion. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you didn't leave us in the darkness. You have transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And Father God, I pray that we would live as kingdom people. We would go out and share hope and love and be the people that you have called us to be. Have your way with us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.